Welcome to Nourish by Spinneys, the podcast which promises to inspire you to eat well and live well. I'm Devina Devecha.
And I'm Tiffany Eslick. This is a space where we hope to nourish your heart and soul. On this show, we chat with leading players in the food community, from farmers to foodies, as well as health and well-being experts. It's all about engaging conversations and fresh ideas.
We're walking our way through the fungi world today with Bronte Weir, one of the co-founders of Below Farm.
So what was the tour like?
I don't think I was expecting to see such a multi-step, but also a circular process. So it was quite insightful, actually. For example, they take the remnants of date palms, so the trunks, the leaves, the fronds that go to waste, and then they process that into food for the mushrooms that they grow.
And I hear you got to try the grow kit as well.
Well, I couldn't try it myself because my cat would have been far too curious, but my mom is actually going to get into that this week, so I'm excited to see how she gets on. But I think you've tried them before as well, right?
I have, and actually it went really quickly. I remember opening it up on like a Monday, giving it a good amount of water for 2 days, coming home and seeing this amazing sort of spread of pink mushrooms everywhere in my kitchen.
Yeah.
So, no, good.
Yeah, and I think our producer, Chirag, who is going to get in on this podcast for the first time as well, has also grown his grow kit. Do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, hello. I thought actually you guys forgot about me.
We never forget about you. We know how important mushrooms are to you.
He's vegan.
This is a vegan job. There it is. Okay. Yeah, you're right. The grow kit went much faster than what I was expecting because I think they kind of prep you by saying it's like 1 or 2 weeks, but you saw it within days, literally.
Yeah.
To the point that I was a bit concerned that I was going to leave them for too long. So I actually sent them a note with a picture saying, you know, do I take them out now? Like, what do I do?
Mushroom nerd.
But they were also super helpful about it because they very quickly was like, actually, based on the picture you showed, in a day you should be ready to do it. Trust your gut. You're a mushroom farmer now, which I thought was very nice.
Cute.
A nice way of like kind of being warm about it. But yeah, it was fun. I mean, obviously, I've had the mushroom since then.
What did you make?
A bunch of different things. I actually added it to pasta that I was making. I also did the sort of, there's going to be more vegan jokes now. I did almost like a buffalo mushroom thing and made a sandwich out of it. So that was nice too. Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea you were so creative in the kitchen.
And now back to the episode. Yeah.
So before I actually sat down in our makeshift studio at the farm to learn more about how they started, we did a quick tour of the facility, starting with what's called the mycelium lab.
This is our mycelium lab. We're growing fungus, right? So yeah. We need to make sure that the fungus that we're growing is only our fungus, not any other fungus or bulbs or anything like that. So everything's really kind of sterile environments, why we can't go inside, but got the window open today so you can see a little bit of what's happening in here. So in the back corner, we've got a massive autoclave, which is basically a giant pressure cooker. So it's we take seed grain of wheat or barley, we sterilize that at 120 degrees for a certain amount of time. And we then take those bags of grain and we put the mycelium, like a petri dish of mycelium into it.
Right.
So these bags here, you can see are bags of grain that have had lion's mane mycelium put into them, and they've been left for a couple of weeks. You can see these were inoculated on the 20th of March.
Yep.
So these are now ready to be taken and put into the soil and the substrate for the mushrooms to grow from.
Right. And you normally use wheat or barley, is that?
So we use wheat or barley for this stage. So because wheat or barley is so full of energy that it means that we can, they grow really fast.
Right.
And when we get to sort of larger scale that we're actually growing the mushrooms from, that's when we use more local materials. But on this, we don't import any of it. It's all, we take the expired product from National Feed. So any product that any grains that are sort of not able to be used for animal feed, they're absolutely fine for this stage of the mushroom process.
Okay.
So you'll see a lot of this through our journey is that we look to use mushrooms as a tool in the circular economy. They are nature's decomposers after all. So we're looking at how we can take waste products and use them in a safe and effective way to grow mushrooms on.
So how long do they normally have to stay in the lab for?
So it's different varieties need different amounts of time.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks for most. Some are a little longer than that. This is the dirty side of our substrate facility, where we take, this is actually date palm.
Okay.
That has been, we processed down into a specific way that was good for the mushrooms to grow on. In the UAE, 35% of the agriculture is dates.
Yeah.
And like what percentage of that in terms of mass is the actual date fruit itself? I think it's like only, I think it's less than 5%.
All right.
So you know, the rest of it is the trees, the branches, the trunks, the leaves. So all of that goes into these, the term is sort of palm graveyards, and they're literally just massive piles in the desert where the materials don't decompose. It's too hot, it's too dry. There's not enough moisture for decomposition to take place, so they just stay there. Or they're burnt, which is even worse.
Right.
So we are taking that waste product and we are using that to grow mushrooms on. We also use a little bit of wood. We are in an area where we're surrounded by local farms, and word got out that we like to collect wood, so you can see our big pile. 70% of what we are using to grow the mushrooms on is date palm. So the vast majority is a sort of local material that it's an upcycled material. So down here, this is all of our home grow kits. So this is something that we started doing to enable people to grow mushrooms themselves at home. So pink oyster mushrooms grow out of here, which are amazing. They
so
look
from
incredible.
This patch,
yeah,
I guess.
So you open this little box, you cut a big cross in the front of it, and then it takes about a week for the mushrooms to grow. It's really, really super impressive. You can see this one, for example. You can see, get a little bit of an idea of the color of the pinkness that comes from it. It's really, really pink.
So did you launch the grow kits at the same time, or was that something you realized there was a demand for or interest for?
So, you know, we launched it sort of as a secondary, like really primarily with the food product.
Yeah.
But it was something that we saw there was a lot of interest for in other countries, and a big growing market for them. And a couple of grow kits are available on the market, but they're all imported. And actually, these are living organisms that you're importing. So. They have it's very easy for something to go wrong.
Yeah.
Also, you're importing, like, we've chosen this pink variety actually for a very specific reason, that it grows really well from 20 to 25 degrees.
Ah, okay.
Which is That's kind perfect. Of the temperature that we have here in our living rooms, right?
Yeah.
Whereas most other varieties of mushrooms, like lion's mane grow kits or silver oyster, need cooler. They need more around 18, which, okay, maybe you can have your house on 18 degrees, but it's
not many people
do, and it's cold. I find 18 cold.
Yeah, I think it's cold. I agree. Mine's usually at about like 23 or 24 for ambient temperature.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So how many different types of mushrooms are we incubating in here?
So in here we have 5 different types of mushrooms incubating. That's our sort of main range. Well, I guess actually a few more. We've also got the reishi. So oyster, king oyster, lion's mane, reishi. We have another type of oyster that we're experimenting with that is a sporeless oyster. There are actually hundreds of different varieties of oyster just in itself, like pink and yellow and blue and silver and white and sporeless and all of these different ones.
So where do they go from here?
So from here, we take them into harvest. And we pack them, ready to go to Spinneys.
Where they are much appreciated, I assure you.
How interesting. I was watching the videos from your tour and it was really fascinating to see how they do their mushroom farm. I've been to a couple of others before and it's different. I mean, there are some similarities, but yeah, that was super interesting.
Yeah, it was my first time on a mushroom farm, and the space has quite a small footprint. And what I love that even as they kept expanding through that space, they're trying to reuse as much of the waste as possible. For example, Bronte told me how they intend to use a small space between two of their containers where they're going to put in a broiler that will use some of their waste as fuel. Also, we will be sharing a video from the tour on our Instagram as well, so definitely check that out.
Great. So what's next on the tour?
Well, after we walked around the farm, I sat down with Bronte in the office to find out how they got started with mushroom farming.
It started off actually from, you've seen today,
mushrooms are beautiful in the way that they grow naturally. They really aren't shown in their natural form a lot when you're buying them on the market. And the beauty of the mushrooms is really what sort of sparked the idea. There was this beautiful arrangement of mushrooms where you would like see a flower arrangement, and it actually started the idea for my business partners. They were back in Poland, and it sort of like, oh, this is really interesting. I'm going to speak to the guy who grows them. So the farmer was there, and they sort of discussed how he was doing all of the mushroom farming in Poland, and was like, huh, I wonder if this is something that we could do in the desert. And then the incubator for ideas that was COVID-19 really spurred a lot of Excels and research and market studies. Led us into sort of incorporation in August 2021 to kind of kick it off. Yeah. The UAE has been such a great place to do it. There's such a big focus on food security in the UAE at the moment. Not only that, from our side, we're not only addressing food security, we're also addressing a lot of the other big priorities for the region, sustainable agriculture and the circular economy as well, which is kind of core to what we do here.
Yeah. And I know we saw all the different types of mushrooms as we walked around, but so you have five different types that you're growing on site at the moment.
So we have oyster, king oyster, shiitake, lion's mane, and chestnut are in our main range. We're at different sort of stages of bringing those all to the market. So oyster right now is the main one, and lion's mane and king oyster are just about ready to be in shops pretty like very soon. So and yeah, shiitake and chestnut coming very soon after that.
Oh, brilliant. And you know, you were mentioning that you could be looking at more varieties. Is that something you're always keeping your eye on?
Like, there are so many different interesting varieties of mushrooms. Yeah. So we focus on primary decomposer mushrooms. Okay. They're the kind of mushrooms that grow when the tree falls in the forest.
Right.
To paint a pretty picture. So they need cellulose to grow on. And there are all sorts of different ones that have sort of been cultivated in a controlled environment. So there are different types that we can entertain. And we're kind of starting to see what the interest is out there for different varieties.
What has been, I guess, the most surprising thing for you since you started this business, like in the business of growing mushrooms in the desert, as you pointed out?
I've just been overwhelmed by how many people want to come see.
Yeah.
Honestly, like we didn't set up for it in the beginning. Like we've got people contacting us all the time being like, can we come visit? Like, you know, agritourism is a real thing, and it's so encouraging and inspiring to see that there's such interest in the region here in terms of how food is being grown. Hopefully by next winter we'll have a possibility for people to come visit to see and learn a little bit more about how mushrooms grow in the desert.
And I think what was for me really nice to hear as well when we were walking around, the focus on sustainability, but also, like you said, that circular, that like loop of how products kind of feed into each other. Was that something that was kind of ever present in your mind even before you and your business partners started?
As a company, we have sort of three core values, and circularity is the top one. Mm-hmm. Mushrooms are nature's tool in the circular economy. They are what break down the organic matter that otherwise wouldn't be recycled and bring it back into the circular life. And we are using that tool of mushrooms to break down a big waste product here in the region, which is the palm leaves from date farming. And we process it in a really special way to be able to grow our mushrooms on. And convert it into a nutritious food, right? Yeah. Like it's a pretty like cool desert story to look at how it, and it was a big piece for us looking at how we can localize all of the technologies and ways of growing mushrooms. The ways that mushrooms are grown really are focused on environments that are much more dark, damp, cold, hot, sunny, dry.
Yeah.
So it's been a good adventure to get to that point. But yeah, every step we take, every decision that we make is through a lens of circularity, sustainability, and responsibility. We're looking for doing good business and doing things right. Like you shouldn't really be setting up a company in this day and age without sustainability front and center.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a trend anymore. It is just a way of being.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to think about that. The date waste, I guess, that you're using is pretty impressive. Is there anything else that you have on site perhaps that we could talk about, like sustainability wise?
So mushrooms actually are a really fantastic low resource impact crop. They are using really low amounts of water, for example. The amount of water that's needed to grow mushrooms, for the same amount of water, you can grow 10 times the amount of mushrooms than you can tomatoes, for example. And in an area where all water is desalinated is a really high energy cost, that's a really great offering. We use no pesticides, no fertilizers. The process that we have to grow mushrooms in needs to be really sterile just by nature. Otherwise, it's not going to work. We'll have other funguses, molds, bacteria that are growing that just mean that the mushrooms won't grow. So low water impacts, that we use a lot of circular principles in our production. We use no pesticides, no fertilizers. We also try and minimize our own waste. So once a grow block is the term that we use from what the mushrooms grow from, once a grow block has had the numerous harvests that come from one block, we actually are looking to that block right now, we turn into a compost, which then can be used to sort of fuel other cultivation. But also we're looking at how we can put in a bioreactor to use that as a and use that grow block as a biofuel to be able to power one of our more energy intensive processes of sterilization. So we've got a very creative engineer as one of our co-founders. So he's always looking at different ways that we can kind of keep our circular and sustainable loop on.
We'll be right back with more from Below Farm after this short break.
We wanted to take a minute to tell you about our delicious Spinney's Food olive oil, which comes from the 120-year-old Basso family farms in Italy, which is now a fifth-generation business. Davina, if you remember my masterclass with Matthew Jones of Bread Ahead, this is the olive oil we use to make the focaccia.
I remember that. It was delicious.
Yes, and part of the reason for that is their use of the Arbequino olive grown in Italy. Here's Federico Basso.
The Arbequino olive is usually used in blends because it's very sweet and it has that almond taste, which is very different from the typical strong Italian olive oils that we have. So we use it in blend in order to provide our customers with a product that is as balanced as possible. So it's not too aggressive, but it's also not too plain. We want to find the perfect match in order to satisfy our clients, also in terms of organoleptic features of our products.
Here's a fun fact. Federico's father, Sabino, eats extra virgin olive oil and bread every morning for breakfast, sometimes with a spoonful of sugar.
And didn't you say that he's run many marathons? Clearly, that's the trick.
We source their extra virgin olive oil, a truffle-infused EVU, and a signature Mediterranean blended oil as well. So you should definitely grab a bottle of Spinney's Food olive oil the next time you're in store and tell us what you think.
Welcome back. I'm Davina Devecha, and you're listening to our conversation with Bronte Ware, co-founder of Below Farm.
Were there any challenges, I guess, that you faced while working on this business? You know, like you said, you had to be creative and kind of deal with situations. What I think, what did you face while working on this that you thought, this is a bit tough, but we'll get through it.
Yeah. I think the biggest challenge is that there's a reason why not many people have done this. Well, no one's doing this really in the region. The ways of growing mushrooms are really designed for the climates of Europe and China, predominantly. So all the technology and the salute and the equipment that's needed to grow mushrooms aren't designed for this environment. And when they get transplanted directly from Europe, they cost a huge amount of money and they just don't really match the environment that we have here. And so we had to do, again, my creative engineer co-founder had to do a lot of creative engineering to be able to figure out how it's going to work, but also not only the technology, but also the raw materials that are needed for growing mushrooms. We had a lot of challenges with importing the materials that were needed for growing mushrooms. And so it's actually what brought us to localizing the whole value chain.
Right.
Remember I told you we were growing from a from seed to fruit here all the way. Traditionally, mushroom farms don't do that whole three-stage process. Generally, like, you'll just have one person doing the fruiting, someone else will grow the plant, and someone else will sell the seed. But we've had to do that whole process here locally because the importing was a challenge. But also, it enables us to use that those local materials and really look at how we can bring that circular piece to benefit here.
And how have you found the response? I mean, I know you said a lot of people wanted to visit, but from an end consumer perspective, or even maybe chefs who are using the product, how have they responded to the mushrooms?
It's been amazing. We've been overwhelmed by the response that we've had. I mean, obviously, I'm biased, but I think these mushrooms are much, much more delicious than button mushrooms. Like, they have more flavor, they're more versatile, they have different textures, there are all sorts of different ways that you can use them. And just by having that additional choice and that additional option in terms of flavor, then I think people are really, really happy. And mushrooms are actually got amazing health benefits. Detour, if you so. You have the plant kingdom, you have the animal kingdom, and you have the fungi kingdom. And the fungi kingdom is much more similar to the animal kingdom than it is to the plant kingdom. If you think about humans, we digest all of our food by secreting enzymes into our stomach. When you think about fungi, they also secrete enzymes to digest their food. But instead of doing it internally, they secrete all of their enzymes, their digestive juices, out around them and breaking everything down around them. But the biochemicals and the processes are quite similar to what happens in animals, which is why, like, you hear this term, like, adaptogenic mushrooms, and there are all these mushrooms that have incredible benefits for your immune system, your nervous system, your cardiovascular system. The reason for that is because a lot of the biochemicals are very similar to what we have in our body. So lion's mane, for example, fantastic for your mental health. It's neuroregenerative, so it helps to repair and mend the neurons in your mind and your body. And so there's a lot of research to show that it has great impacts on your concentration and your sleep and all the rest of it.
Fascinating. I probably need that one then. I need to get better sleep.
We'll get yourself to take
it. Better sleep. Do you have a favorite type of mushroom, actually?
It really depends, like, on the usage. I think lion's mane really is delicious. It's so novel in terms of how it cooks. I actually like to use it as a sort of as a steak, so you kind of really press it down as it's cooking and, like, compress it down flat, and then it's just super juicy and succulent. It absorbs other flavors really nicely, a little sauce on there. But the big oyster mushroom clusters do that as well really nicely. Shiitake mushrooms are just little flavor bombs. They have this really umami, earthy texture that I put a lot in stews and cooking. So I can't choose. It's like asking me to choose all my children. I only have one, so that's fine.
I was just like, you like all of them. I've never actually cooked a lion's mane mushroom before. So that actually sounds very cool. Like, I didn't realize you could.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely. So on our social media, we've got loads of different reels and recipes up there that people can go look at Below Farm, and and also on our website, we've got a nice recipe book of mushroom recipes, so to get a little bit of inspiration if you haven't cooked with these kind of mushrooms before.
And what's next for the farm? You know, what are you thinking long term? Where do you want to take this?
So, like, really, we want to establish the Middle East as a center of excellence for mushroom cultivation. Saying none of the solutions are really here for growing, like, they don't really work from Europe and North America. So we're really looking to establish that here. But to begin with, we are in the next year is really ramping up our production. We have got a lot of plans. We've got people and lots of customers lined up ready to take the mushrooms. So we need to build our production up as quickly as possible. So that's in the shorter term as well.
That's very cool. So when was your first harvest?
So we had our first harvest in May 2022. We actually had started off by importing kind of the grow blocks ready to fruit from China as a sort of quick route to market. And it just wasn't, we quickly realized it wasn't the appropriate solution. So we made the tough decision to pause our production and do the R&D and construction and development that was needed to be able to actually do it all here locally.
I mean, that is a brave decision to kind of pause and kind of go back to the drawing board.
It was really hard. It was a tough one to do. And honestly, if it wasn't June, July, midsummer, we probably would have had to think a lot longer and a lot harder about it. But, yeah, you know, the summer here is, it's a tough time to, it's, you know, everything gets quieter during the summer. And so we thought it was a good opportunity to pivot a little bit.
Yeah. And so you have yourself and two co-founders, and you wear different hats. So one of them you said is an engineer as well. So can you just talk a little bit more about how the dynamic works between the two of you?
Yeah, so it's myself and my co-founders, Liliana and Wojciech. They are actually a married couple. So we're a little tripod that kind of works really well as our own, all our different skill sets. So yeah, Wojciech is our creative engineer. So he's done all of the construction that you can see here, but he's also a self-trained mycologist, as so many are.
Yeah.
So he's our mushroom man. and my background is in R&D and in chemistry. So, and make product development. So I do kind of most of the development stuff from the product to the packaging to the branding and the marketing, the and some of the business development as well.
Right.
Liliana's our CEO, and she does a lot more of the business development piece and runs a lot of the sales piece of the business as well. You know, she's our kind of business mind. So she's got an MBA, and she does a lot more of that kind of oversight stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's just fascinating when you have your own business. Like you say, it's all hands on deck. You just got to keep rolling and do what you do.
It's been really interesting. Like, there's a little bit, you know, from our past corporate life experience, it's been super valuable, but we've all three of us have found a new area that we really like, that we're able to sort of fill into just because of our passion. It's really a nice thing to learn, a way to learn about yourself and to discover new skills that you have. And having the three of us all together means that, you know, there's, we've got each other to lean on, which is great.
And, you know, this is a question we kind of discussed briefly earlier, but, you know, what is it that nourishes your soul?
I think it's feeding people, to be honest. It always has been. And more specifically, when I talk about feeding people, you know, when like you have a big group of friends that you brought all around and you've cooked up something delicious and they're all chatting and there's this like hum of voices and happiness and laughter, that that cacophony of sound of like your friends and the people you love eating the food that you love, that nourishes my soul, that sound.
Oh, that actually, that sounds wonderful. I know what you mean. Yeah, it's great.
You know what I mean? You can't hear the words, but you can just hear the happiness.
Yeah, you can hear the happiness. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. But also, like, with, you know, doing this at this farm, at Below Farm, you know, what keeps you going, I guess? What keeps you passionate about it on such a regular basis?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's we're doing something for the first time. And it's really exciting, but it's also really hard. Like, there's a constant challenge that we're having to do as we grow and scale as a young business. And yeah, that challenge is really exciting. You know, it doesn't, no day's the same. And but then there's a little bit of the biology and the actual science that you're working with that means that it's always the same. You know, so like that. That mixture of challenge and consistency is a really solid foundation to work in.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us. For the tour around the farm, it was genuinely very insightful.
Oh, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Actually, Tiff, do you mind taking over the credits? I actually have to run to the Atlantis Royal now because they're about to announce the list for the 2023 edition of the Michelin Guide Dubai, and I've got to be there.
Sure thing. Have fun.
Bye.
Bye. So to wrap up, you can catch Davina's interview with Michelin in the next 2 weeks. And this episode was brought to you by Spinneys and is hosted by me, Tiffany Eslick, and Davina Devicha. We're produced by Chirag Desai, and artwork is done by Michelle Clements and Jihan Youssef. You can follow Spinneys on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok for more. And visit us at spinneys.com, where you can shop for fresh produce and a variety of local and exclusive products, including some of our delicious oyster mushrooms from Below Farm. At what time are you chiming in when it comes to the grow kits?
Yeah, exactly at 7 minutes and 33 seconds.
Listen here, Chiragi.
Never heard that one before.
Good name. Raggy, like a ragged-toothed shark.
The only thing I say when this happens is like, thank you for the blooper reel.